Well, this is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linfer.
And this is your Nishna Valley for the, well, the hot part of summer.
Yes.
I was going to say the middle
it's
of summer.
It's going to be real hot next week.
Technically, summer just started a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's getting to be the hot part of summer. We've seen some pretty hot, steamy weather this weekend.
Yes.
And it's going to continue for a while, it looks like, too. So if you're not a big fan, then you better get a big fan.
Or stay indoors in your air conditioning, one
yeah,
of the two.
No kidding. It's, you know, everybody complains about, oh, no, my air conditioner's out. This is the worst time. Why does it always go out when it's hot outside? Well, you're not using it when it's cold outside.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how that works. But, yeah, I noticed the a lot of the plumbing and heating places around, they're getting their calls these times. Oh, boy, it's a bad time. And we're starting to see more and more air conditioning units show up on our Trading Post program as well. So perhaps folks are getting central air installed and they're losing some of those window air conditioners that they've been using. Other people can sure use them.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And they usually sell pretty well.
Yeah, they do.
Folks are usually pretty good about picking those up when the opportunity arises. A lot of older homes that haven't had central air retrofitted to them yet, so they just feel comfortable getting a window unit, take care of business.
Yep.
You guys have air conditioning growing up?
Yes.
You're so young, you had everything growing up.
Yeah, I guess.
See, we never had air conditioning.
Really?
When I was a kid, we never had. We had a couple of box fans in the house. But see, where we lived in Dubuque, Dubuque's an old city. It's the oldest city west of the Mississippi, so it's an old town. A lot of the houses in Dubuque, in the older part of town, were built way before anybody even thought about having any kind of building codes or anything. So, you know, in a lot of cases, houses are built very closely together. And that's the case with my parents' home, the home I grew up in. The home we had, well, my mom and dad actually still live there, but it's only like about 6 feet from the house next door. There's just a little 6-foot strip of grass, roughly, and then there's the house next door. And you can tell when you walk down that because the wind rushes through there, but it's always cool in that little area there because there's not a lot of sun that gets there.
Yeah.
And, you know, the wind does kind of whip through there, so it's always kind of cool. And then on the other side of the house, there's only roughly probably maybe 9 or 10 feet. And then there's a small apartment complex. It's a small brick complex that has just 4 apartments in it. But it's also relatively close, so the wind would kind of zip through that area too. So we never really had too much of a problem with the sun beating down on the house so much because you're in such close quarters.
Yeah.
So with a couple of box fans, we were good.
Oh, really? That's good then.
I mean, we didn't know any different.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, we didn't know any different. We had a few friends who had central air conditioning. It was relatively new back then, but and a few people who had window air conditioning units, but we just, that's what we did. We'd go out and we'd play all day outside in the heat, and then we'd come inside, and we'd just kind of lay on the floor in front of the fan, the big box fan
there. Try and cool off.
Yeah, Mom would open up the windows on, you know, either side of the house, and sometimes the doors would stand open. And she just put it right in front of the screen door there and just draw air in one side and push it through the house into the other side. And that worked out just fine because that's what we knew.
Yeah.
Now, nowadays, that'd be a killer.
Yeah.
Nowadays, kids wouldn't like that very much at all.
Not so much.
Well, and that's part of the problem. You know, we're so used to the air conditioning. You know, I mean, if you could figure out a way to air condition the outdoors, people would do it.
Yes.
You know, we're so used to that, though, now. People just don't like that. I mean, it gets over 80 and people start complaining.
Mm-hmm. We like to complain, though.
Well, we do. That's kind of what we do
for
a living. But, yeah, and we like to talk about the weather.
Yeah.
Because it's always a constant in our lives. But, yeah, we were down. And we went last weekend. You talk about hot.
Oh, to the.
Now, I'm not going to complain about the heat because I hate the cold.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with the heat. As long as it's not cold outside, I'm fine. But last weekend, we took a bus group down to St. Louis to enjoy a couple of St. Louis Cardinal baseball games. Well, the second game of the weekend, Saturday night, was a night game, and we were actually under the overhang up top in the top section, so we had some shade. Sunday's game, however, although we were in some of us were in the shade, there was a little bit of an overhang above us to keep some shade, there wasn't much of a breeze. And if you believe that 100% is as high as the humidity level can get, you haven't been to St. Louis in July.
Oh, boy.
St. Louis is a very hot, steamy place in the month of July. And it showed. There were a lot of folks moving around.
I bet.
Trying to find comfortable spots to go, whether it be the shade. In some cases, folks would rather have sat on the other side, even if you're in the sun, because you had a little breeze blowing in your face.
Oh, yeah.
But it was hot. It was like 90, yikes, I don't remember what it was, 96, 97, 98, Oof. Something like that. And then the humidity level on top of that. You know, the nice thing was the game was not sold out. And the ushers were very good about things. You know, normally, you know, people are sticklers about, hey, you bought a ticket for that seat, you sit in that seat. Right. I don't care if nobody's sitting here. You don't go sit there. You didn't pay for that seat, you know. But they were pretty good about letting people get up. There were a lot, you know, number of folks who were initially sitting in the sun. But, you know, some people just can't handle that very well.
Yeah.
So they were real good about, you know, the people would get up and ask the ushers. We saw several instances of it. And the ushers would just say, why don't you sit back up there? There's some shade up there. They were no problem with it. So
that's
they were real
nice.
Good about it. That's really nice to see. Because like I said, sometimes they're pretty, and they should be sticklers about it. You paid for that seat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people like to pay for the cheap seat somewhere else.
Get down below.
And then look for an area where there might be a few expensive seats open and try to sneak into them. Well, that's
yeah.
not right.
No.
But when it's hot like that, they were pretty good about doing that. So appreciate that little bit of help from those
yeah.
folks. Well, it hasn't always been hot this summer. We've had a few instances of some rainfall, in some cases some nasty rainfall.
Yes.
With a few storms and things. Even recently, within the last week or so, we've seen a little bit of storm damage mm-hmm. here and there, some tree damage and things. Your folks live on a farmstead.
Yes.
Lots of trees?
Yes.
Lots of damage?
Never said anything about damage, no.
Not so much. Of course,
mm-mm.
as long as it doesn't...
I think after all the winter storm, that kind of knocked down anything they had, and they had trimmers come out, so...
Yeah. It's called natural pruning in
yeah.
some ways.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've seen some damage here with some of the winter storms
mm-hmm.
and things, but now again, of course, the winter storms is a little easier to see the damage because you don't have all
the leaves
and
yeah.
things there. In the summertime, sometimes it's a little tougher unless you get that branch, you know, laying on the house. So
mm-hmm.
we've seen a few of those this summer, too. Well, that usually leads people to going out and maybe trying to take care of some of their trees. And there are some do's and don'ts when it comes to that. One of the things I was looking at, the Tree Care Industry Association, I saw a publication this past week that they had sent out. And it's entitled, basically, that the national standard says, don't top trees. Tree topping is pretty common. You hear that a lot. Folks will top their trees for a lot of different reasons. It could be for... to try just to hold back the growth of the tree to keep it a certain size. It could be, for example, to keep it out of power lines or different types of things, or to keep it from growing into areas where, you know, where it could be a little bit troublesome in your
mm-hmm.
home. But tree topping for a long time was considered the easiest and the cheapest way to make the mature trees a little safer and to reduce their size. But today, they say that tree researchers have actually proven that both of those assumptions are false. They say millions of trees have been hacked with little or no consideration to their health or their structural integrity. So these folks with the Tree Care Industry Association, they say that many of these trees eventually die as a result of the damage that's inflicted just by
mm-hmm.
randomly topping the trees. Others eventually become unsafe, which can lead to dangerous limb breakage or the tree completely failing over a period of time and then just in falling down
yeah.
in a storm. So they do have some pruning standards that they'd like folks to consider because they don't like topping. They don't think that's an acceptable pruning practice anymore. So, you know, when you talk about topping's kind of a non-standard pruning procedure. It's when you have large trees that are just severely cut back to a predetermined size. They sometimes call it things like hat racking or dehorning. Different things like that. But topping was kind of a traditional pruning method that was considered acceptable a long time ago. But nowadays, the topping trees, the up-to-date information, they say that you should leave large the tree topping leaves large exposed wounds, which can predispose the tree to infestation or other health problems. It ruins the tree structure. It removes sometimes too much foliage, and that can disrupt the tree's energy storage. If you get rid of too big a section where the leaves are, that's kind of the business part of the tree. It also stimulates vigorous new growth, and that's prone to breakage. It can increase your tree maintenance costs and destroy the appearance and the value of the tree as well. Now, some trees are topped just out of tradition because that's the way it's always been done. Some consumers mistakenly believe that topping a tree helps to reduce its size and lowers the maintenance cost. However, published research has proven that many species of trees are topped that get topped actually grow more over a 5-year period when compared to trees that were pruned correctly. So as a result, no savings for the consumer. You don't get the desired result. They say topping a tree often can result in greater expense for the consumer over the long run. So tree care professionals consider topping kind of almost a form of consumer fraud. You know, when trees are topped, Well, we've kind of talked a little bit about what can happen there, but, you know, I guess the question is, what else can you do? What's the alternative? Well, tree care companies and tree services do have the ability to make your tree look more attractive, safer, and even somewhat smaller if they use the appropriate pruning methods in accordance with the current standards. And they say that what you should do is ask your tree service to state on a written proposal that all work will be done according to ANSI A300 standards. And they say ask that pruning specifications written according to those standards be provided on the proposal. And the specifications or details that you tell exactly what work the tree company plans to do, that way there's no misunderstanding.
Right.
Just like if you're going to build a house,
Oh, yeah.
You don't just find some guy who can build a house and say, build a house. You have specs. I mean,
right.
you put together a plan. You know, you've got drawings. You've got all that stuff. It's really not that much different with the tree, too. You can consider that kind of a home repair project or home remodeling project.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of the same thing. You want to have some idea of what's going to happen, especially with those trees. Those trees cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
And in some cases, they're extremely valuable. You can have some old growth trees that can be worth tens of thousands of dollars.
Wow.
So they're kind of an important piece of your property, and they can make or break property values in some places, too, depending upon how you have them planted. So they say that with regard to utility line clearance, that the current standards, the ANSI A300 pruning standard, also has a section on utility line clearance tree trimming. So utilities that trim trees according to those standards will not top the tree. So you want to make sure that you're asking folks that you hire to make sure that they're using those appropriate standards. I think the last thing you'd probably want, especially if you have an old growth tree in the yard that you particularly have come attached to, and it would look odd if it weren't there anymore. If you're going to have some work done on it, I suppose the last thing you want to do is just have someone come in and just hack the...
Butcher it.
Yeah, just hack the devil out of it, and then it's no good anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks bad. It falls apart, and you still want it to look good. So make sure that you're talking it over when you do hire anybody, whether it be because of tree damage or just you'd like to have the tree maybe pruned down a little bit.
Yeah.
Prune it. Don't destroy it.
Yes.
Right? There you go.
Yes.
We have a lot of county fair stuff going on.
My goodness,
lots of stuff going on. And lots of other things happening as well. You want to give us a quick start here with some
of
the activities?
You bet. Well, coming up on Monday, the Cass County Farm Bureau, they're having their 2011 Farm Bureau Annual Meeting. That will be held on July 18th at the Cass County Community Center. They'll have dinner at 6:30 and then the business meeting and door prizes. You can make your reservations by calling the Farm Bureau office at 243-2263. That's the Cass County Farm Bureau's 2011 annual meeting on July 18th. That will be held at the Cass County Community Center, and they'll have the dinner at 6:30. The Cass County Tourism Committee, they're also meeting on July 18th. That's at 8 a.m. at the Family Table in Atlantic. If you're interested in promoting tourism in Cass County, you're invited to attend the monthly meeting. But it is a new meeting time, so that's a little different for them. If you want any more information, you can contact Kenny Baxter and Marnie for more information. That's the Cass County Tourism Committee meeting on July 18th at 8 a.m. at the Family Table here in Atlantic. The Danish Windmill, they have the singer-songwriter Brad Myers performing on July 20th at 7 p.m. You can bring your own lawn chair or a blanket to enjoy the special event. They will accept free will donations, and they'll be used towards the windmill's reshingling project. That's Brad Myers performing at the Danish Windmill on July 20th at 7 p.m. Wyota Methodist Church, they're having an ice cream social. That's on July 20th. It's from 4:30 to 7. They'll also be serving with the homemade ice cream, beef burgers, chips, pie, cake, and drink. That's the Wyota Methodist Church's ice cream social on July 20th from 4:30 to 7. Now there's a golf tournament coming up. It's SCORE's 5th annual golf tournament. It's a 4-person best ball, and that's on July 23rd. It starts at 9 a.m. at the Crestwood Hills Golf Course in Oneida. If you'd like to have a team, or if you'd also like to sponsor a hole or donate, you can contact Teresa Hensley, and her number is 243-9750. That's SCORE's 5th annual golf tournament on July 23rd at 9 a.m., and that's at the Crestwood Hills Golf Course in Oneida. The 3rd annual Women's Motorcycle Fun Run is on July 23rd. Their check-in time is from 11 to 11:30 a.m. That will be at the East parking lot at the Heritage House. There is no registration fee, and then the run will include 200 miles of paved roads and highways, 5 planned stops, and then dinner at Nitro's. They'll have the Taylor County Chopper Surprise, and then a free supper and more. If you have any questions on the fun run, You can call 243-6350. It's the third annual Women's Motorcycle Fun Run on July 23rd, and then you can check in from 11 to 11:30 at the East parking lot at the Heritage House. There's free music and dancing at the Elks Lodge in Atlantic. That will be held on July 23rd, and that starts at 7 p.m. Popcorn Button will be playing, and then Pam and Jake Arbach will be giving free ballroom lessons from 8 to 8:30. They will be accepting free will donations at the door to help defray costs of the event. All ages and dancing abilities are invited and encouraged to attend. If you would like more information on any of this, you can contact Curtis at 424-242-2878. That's the free dancing and music by Popcorn Button on July 23rd at the Elks Lodge, and that starts at 7 p.m. Todd Keene and the Power Team will be at the Audubon T-Bone Days. That's on August 4th at 7 p.m. at the Fairgrounds Agri Hall, and then also on August 5th at 6 p.m., and then on August 6th at 6 p.m. at the Downtown City Park Stage. That's Todd Keene and the Power Team on the Audubon T-Bone Days, August 4th, 5th, and 6th. The third annual T. Fred Memorial Golf Tournament will be held on August 13th. It's at 9 a.m. at the Nishna Hills Golf Club. It's a four-person team. It's $200, and that also includes, though, a T-shirt and koozies. It's four-person best ball. They'll have three flights and prizes on every hole. They'll also have a chance to win a brand-new car on Detter Motor Company's hole-in-one. There is a silent auction and then a meal for a free will donation. You can register. To register, you can send a number of carts needed, a list of players, T-shirt sizes, and payment in full. And that's due by July 30th. You'll send that to the Trevor Fredrickson Memorial Fund at 56535 Jasper Road in Atlantic. Or you can also call 249-3696, and you can even follow them on Facebook. That's the third annual T. Fred Memorial Golf Tournament on August 13th, and that starts at 9 a.m. at the Nishna Hills Golf Club. There'll be a benefit for Danny Cannon, who's the son of Tom Cannon of Elkhorn, that will be held on August 14th at the Elkhorn Town Hall. The Xyra Masons, along with the Elkhorn Lutheran Church women, will be serving breakfast from 8:30 to 12:30. Danny is a student at Iowa State and has been going through cancer treatments for some time. Please join them in giving Danny a boost with donations and prayers. It's a benefit for Danny Cannon on August 14th at the Elkhorn Town Hall.
All right. I've got a few other things here, too, that I want. You know, actually, it's county fair stuff, because we'll have three county fairs getting started here in this next week in the immediate area. So a lot of stuff to talk about there. So why don't we just take our break right now, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about that in just a moment.
Occupational therapist at Cass County Memorial Hospital.
Generally, occupational therapy focuses specifically on hand and wrist and elbow injuries, while physical therapy addresses the back and lower body issues, any kind of leg, hip fractures, knee problems, etc. And physical therapy often works with a patient's mobility, their ability to transfer and ambulate, while occupational therapy would focus more on the patient's everyday tasks, such as dressing and bathing, preparing meals, things like that. And occupational therapy also tends to work a little bit more with cognitive issues, testing for cognitive decline and whether a patient is able to function safely on their own at home or if they would benefit from having more supervision. We complete safety evaluations in patients' homes to make recommendations so they can increase their safety and reduce their fall risk. There's a lot of areas where we overlap, but there's a lot of differences in what our goals are too. So
again, that's Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cass County Memorial Hospital.
All right, back to business here. County fairs. We're just finishing up the Shelby County Fair as we speak, and lots of good stuff going on there. We had a chance to visit with some of the youngsters over this last few days here on the air. And next week, boy, are we busy. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of next weekend, this coming week, we are going to be at the Adair, Audubon, and East Pottawatomie County Fairs each of those days.
Oh, that's it?
That's all.
Just three fairs
that's
a day.
All. Be thankful that you get to stay in the office. No, actually, we get out and get to have the fun.
You get the good food.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And we tend to enjoy it a little bit, too. Yeah, we will be having live broadcast this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from Greenfield shortly after 1 o'clock at the Adair County Fair, shortly after 4 o'clock up in Audubon, the Audubon County Fair, and then shortly after 6 o'clock over in Avoca at the East Pottawatomie County Fair.
Sheesh.
We are just dashing. Yep, we're dining, interviewing, and dashing. That's what we're doing. But yeah, we go to Greenfield for the first broadcast in the early afternoon. Then we leave there and we take and turn, go north. We go right up to Audubon. We get there, we do our thing there, and then after that, we take off and we head over to Avoca and do our thing from the fair there. So, yeah, it's a very busy few days bouncing around, but it's a lot of stuff going on during the course of time. Adair County Fair getting underway this week. In fact, Wednesday, July 20th, they'll really kind of get things going with some stuff. They'll have a barbecue supper that day at the at 6 o'clock. In the courtyard, and the fireworks that night after the Little Miss Adair County contest and the Adair County Fair King and Queen competition. Let's see, some of the key things. Some of the key things that folks like as far as the judging goes, the swine show and the poultry show, along with the horse show. All those things will be on Thursday, July 21st. The rabbit and the meat goat show will be held, and the bucket bottle calf show as well. Dairy goat show, all that on Friday, July 22nd. The beef show will be on Saturday, July 23rd. Now, when it comes to the entertainment, because folks like the entertainment, they focus a lot in their grandstand at the Adair County Fair, and that means usually a lot of loud noises. The Heartland Rodeo Company will be the featured entertainment on Thursday, July the 21st. That's at 7 o'clock. Then Friday night, they've got the Supercross ATV races. That makes a mess.
I bet.
In case you haven't seen that. 6:30 p.m. is when they get that started. Now, talk about making a mess. Saturday, July 23rd, will be the Demolition Derby. You don't see a lot of demo derbies around anymore, but they still do that at Adair County Fair. So if you like smash-em-ups, if you like taking your little Hot Wheels cars and banging them into one another, well, they do it with real cars, and it actually puts big dents in them.
Yes.
So if you want to see that, that's where you want to go. Off the Rocker Band will be performing right before that at the grandstand. That's 7:30 is when the Demolition Derby starts, Saturday, July 23rd. And then Sunday, July 24th, talk about a mess. The Mud Bog Races will be held, and that gets underway at 4 o'clock, and they'll follow that with the Teen Dance to kind of close things out. So lots of things going on in this coming week, especially toward the weekend at the Adair County Fair. Now, also the East Pottawatomie County Fair, they have a lot of things going on over in Avoca. They have some of their key judging things going on. They're going to really kind of start getting things set up on Tuesday, but Wednesday they'll have a lot of activities kind of getting started with working exhibits and some things, bake sale and food items and stuff like that. Come Thursday, though, they're really going to kind of get started. They have a pie baking contest. They also have a pizza baking contest. Need judges, by the way? They'll have a table setting contest, which should actually be before the pie and pizza setting baking contest. Then they also, coming up on Friday, they'll have the swine show, the rabbit show, the sheep and goat show. All will be held that day. The breeding beef show will be held on Saturday, July the 23rd. The market beef show will be held in the middle of the day on Saturday. And then they've got a 4-H fun decathlon in the afternoon hours. On Sunday, July 24th, it's poultry show, the dog show, the cat show, the small pet show, all kinds of things like that as they kind of round things out. And then their sale will be on Monday, July the 25th, and they'll have lots of activities going on around all of those kinds of things also. So, again, they hope to see a lot of good folks over there at the fairgrounds in Avoca. And the Audubon County Fair this week as well. Well, what a busy time, focusing on just some of the key things. As far as the judging things go, you got the pet and dog show for 4-H'ers on Wednesday, July the 20th. On Thursday, the 21st, the livestock judging contest. Friday is the 4-H and FFA horse show. The swine show will be Saturday the 23rd, along with the 4-H horse fun show, which is always enjoyed by many. The open class horse show is Sunday, July the 24th. They have lots of things going on throughout the course of the week there, and they hope to get a lot of folks there too. The beef show also coming up on Saturday of next week, so they hope to have a lot of fun with all of those kinds of things. The baby contest. They have a baby kind. They have all kinds of stuff there. As far as the entertainment goes, they'll have, a community wellness walk starting at Albert the Bull on Tuesday at 4:30. Thursday, they have the Children's Theater at the Grandstand in the evening hours, followed by the 4-H recognition, and then the Audubon County Fair Queen Contest, which I'll be up there helping them MC again this year. That's at 7:30 on Thursday, the 21st. Friday, they've got County Fair Olympics during the afternoon, then the figure eight races at night, which folks enjoy. On Saturday, the 23rd, they've got the baby contest. They've got kids' fun games. They've got big wheel races, a pedal pull for the kids. They have outhouse races in the evening. Yes.
Interesting.
Yes, the outhouses actually race. Used to be a race to the outhouse.
Yeah.
Now they actually race the outhouses. And a 3-on-3 basketball tournament also. Then Sunday, July the 24th, there's a tractor drive in the morning. They'll play bingo. They have a pie contest, water fights, and then figure eight races again in the evening at 7:30 on Sunday. So lots of great stuff going on there. And as always, they hope to have more great activities planned for you here, and lots of stuff too. Look at the menu in the food stand as well. Head up to the Agri Hall. They've got lots of good stuff there too for you. So hope you get a chance to get up and enjoy all the good stuff that folks have been planning for the better part of a year now. And we'll talk to you from the fair this week too.
Yeah.
Got some birthdays for us?
I do. We have a happy 90th birthday going out to Marvin Hockenberry, celebrating his 90th birthday on July 24th. And we'd love to hear from his friends and family. You can send him a card to 1003 Hillcrest Drive in Anita, 50020. That's happy birthday to Marvin Hockenberry, celebrating his 90th birthday on July 24th. There's a card shower honoring Kenneth Kimmins' 80th birthday, celebrating on the July 20th with a card shower. You can send him a card to the Salem Lutheran Homes, P.O. Box 358A, Elkhorn, Iowa, 51531. He has two children, Cindy and Kurt Scheffler of Harlan and Keith Kimmin of Harlan. He has four grandchildren and three great-grandsons. Kenneth Kimmins celebrating his 80th birthday on July 20th. Let's see. Over at the Exira?
Mm-hmm.
Exira Care Center. Happy birthday to Agnes Atwood, celebrating her birthday on July 20th. And then over at the Salem Lutheran Home, we have, again, a happy birthday to Kenny Kimmin on the 20th, and also to Alma Neubauer on July 22nd.
Okay, lots of birthdays around the area of note this week. Also have an open house for you, too, an anniversary open house coming up this weekend, Sunday, July 17th. It's for Forrest and Marianne Johnson of Harlan. They'll be celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary, and the open house will be this Sunday, July 17th, from 2 until 4 p.m. at the McKee Community Room. That's at Elmcrest Retirement Community in Harlan. So they hope that folks can get up and get a chance to help them celebrate their big day. Forrest and Marianne Johnson of Harlan. Again, that's Sunday, July 17th, 2 to 4 p.m. at the McKee Community Room at the Elmcrest Retirement Community in Harlan. That's this Sunday, 2 until 4. That's their 60th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
Wow. Lots of good times there. So we hope folks do get a chance to get out and help these folks celebrate some of their great times. Should throw in, too, that if you do have any birthdays or anniversaries or births that you'd like to crow about, let us do it for you. Just give it the information to us here, and we'll share it with folks here on our airwaves. Just send it to us here at Nishna Valley. Just put Nishna. You don't have to put this as your Nishna Valley. Nishna Valley is good enough.
Yep,
send it
we'll
to Stacy. Send it to KJN Post Office Box 389, Atlantic, Iowa 50022. Fax it to us, 243-3937, or you can email it to Stacy. Send it to her. She loves that stuff. So it's, what is your address?
KJAN Desk at METC.net.
It's kind of like speed dial. I don't even type it in anymore. It just pops up.
It's just there,
I just have to send it. So, you know, you forget phone numbers.
Yeah.
Because you don't dial them anymore.
Same with cell phones. I don't know anybody's phone number without it.
Our lives are too simple.
It is.
It's ridiculous how simple they are. By the way, if you happen to miss any of our programs, too, just go to our website. If you have a computer and internet access in your home, just go to our website at kjan.com, and then up along the top of the page, you'll see little tabs there that have different things on there. One of them says programs. If you click on that, it'll take you to a page that has a list of some of the special programs that we do. One of them is This Is Your Nishna Valley. Mm-hmm. If you click on that, you'll just find a little brief description up top, but more importantly, underneath, what we do each week is we take these programs that air, and we turn them into podcasts. We just put them on our website. So it's got a little player right there. You don't have to do anything except click the little play button, and you can sit and listen to the program once again. If that's too much of a hassle, you can also download it to your computer. We've got little instructions there for you to download it or listen in your own player, whatever you want to do. And if you don't understand that, ask the grandkids. They'll explain it to you very quickly and in confusing terms.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do. But yeah, we offer all kinds of stuff like that. Check out our website at kjan.com. We've made it quite the resource with the revamp that we did a few weeks ago. So hope you get a chance to check all that out and hopefully find some new resources that you find very helpful.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we have for you this weekend. As always, thanks for joining us, and take care with the heat out there.
Yeah.
This is Jim Field.
And Stacy Linfer.
And this has been your Nishna Valley.